Yaakov comes to the city of Shechem and he purchases a plot of land for 5 shekels from Hamor, and he builds a house, he sets up his tent, he sets up Sukkot for his cattle, and he stays there 1.5 years. Now the women of Shechem go out and they play their music and they're dancing, and Rachel and Leah go and see the women and they're rejoicing, and Dina goes with them, and all the people of the city are going to see the women dancing, and all the nobles of the city are there, and Shechem the son of Hamor is also there watching the dancing. And Shechem sees Dina sitting with her mother before the women of the city, and he likes what he sees. And he asks the people around, who is that girl sitting among the women? I don't know that girl in our city. And they tell him, that's the daughter of Yaakov, who's the son of Yitzchak, who's the son of Avram, who's been living here for a while. When she heard that the girls are going out to rejoice, she went with her mother and the maids, and they're sitting and they're with the women like you see. So Shechem sees her, and he falls in love with her. And so he sends his men, and they abduct her. And so he takes her forcibly, and he sits her in his home and says, you're here. Yaakov hears this, and he hears how this man defiled his daughter. And he sends 2 servants to bring Dina back. And when they come out, Shechem comes out, and he brings his men with him, and they chase them away, and they don't let them even see Dina. And when the men are standing at a distance, Shechem grabs Dina and hugs her and kisses her in front of them and shoos them away. So the servants come back and they say, look, this is what happened, and this is what he did in front of us. And Yaakov understood that if this is how he behaved in front of them, then undoubtedly he did much worse when they weren't around. And he didn't say a word. His children were away watching the sheep, and Yaakov remained silent until they came home. Yaakov sends 2 girls from the daughters of his servants to watch over Dina in the house of Shechem and keep her company. And Shechem sends 3 men from his friends, Chamor ben Chidkam, and they come and they Shechem sent 3 of his friends to his father, Chamor, and they told him, we want you to get him this girl for a wife. And Chamor says to Shechem, what's wrong with you? Aren't there any good girls from our nation? Why do you have to take a Hebrew girl? She's not from our people. And Shechem says, no, I want her. She's the one I love. And Chamor says, okay, if that's what you want, okay. He goes out to Yaakov to talk to him. Yaakov's children heard the news, and they got very upset, and they all came home angry. And they sat before their father, and they started speaking angrily. They said, the man has to get killed, because we have a law from the time of Noah. Hashem said, you're not allowed to steal, you're not allowed to commit adultery, you're not allowed to take someone else's girl or someone else's wife. And Shechem did both. And no one said a word. Everyone in the city stood by quietly. Now that means Shechem and his father and the whole city are culpable for the act, because no one is enforcing justice. And Hashem said that this can't happen. And that means that this city is going back to the time before the Mabul. And this transgresses the Noahide laws. And they're discussing with their father how the city has to be killed. And there's a knock on the door. It's Chamor. The king has come, the king of Shechem, and he comes to talk to Yaakov about Dina. And he tells them, look, my son Shechem desires your daughter greatly. Give her to him as a wife. You marry us, you take our girls, we'll give you our daughters, and you'll live here with us and we'll become one nation. Look at what a big country we have here. Come do business here, take control, and you'll see, you'll be able to succeed here. No one will get in your way. And Shem is in the middle of talking to Yaakov and his children, and in Hamor is busy talking, and in walks Shem, his son. And Shem walks into the man himself walks into the conversation, and he says to Yaakov and his children, "Look, you give me the girl, and I'll do whatever you want. Tell me you want a lot of gifts, I'll give you. Whatever you want, I'll do. And if anyone tries to go against what you ask, I'm going to kill him. You give me the girl, and I'm going to give you whatever you want." So Shimon and Levi answered them cunningly, and they said, "Okay, we can have a deal. But, you know, our sister's in your house right now. We want to talk to our father Yitzchak before we do anything. Because Yitzchak knows the way of our grandfather Avram. And whatever he tells us, we'll tell you. And you guys have to live up to the way of our family. But we want to get an accurate tradition so that you guys can go in accord with our tradition." And so they say, "That's a great idea. Fine. You verify your tradition and we'll talk." So then they tell Yaakov after Shechem and Hamor leave, they say, "Look, we know that all these wicked people deserve to be killed. They've transgressed the Noahide laws. They don't have justice. They've abducted a girl. They're going back to the ways of the world before the flood. And look at what he did to Dina. Such a thing can't happen. So here's what we want to do." Shimon says, "Let's tell them all to circumcise, just like we're circumcised. If they don't want it, they should give us back our daughter. And when they'll all be in pain, we'll come, and the nation won't be able to stand up to us." And they all liked the idea, and Shimon and Levi agree to do it. The next morning, Shechem and Hamor come to Yaakov and the children about Dinah to hear what their answer is, and they tell them, "Look, we spoke to our father Yitzchak, and he liked what you guys have to say, that we should all become one people. But he said, look, this is my tradition. God commanded me that anyone who wants to take one of our daughters has to circumcise all the people of that people if they're going to join us. And after that, we could give him our daughter as a wife. So here we've told you, this is our tradition. This is what our father said, our father Yitzchak. We can't do any of this. So long as you guys are uncircumcised, this is a disgrace for us. But we're willing to make a deal. You guys just have to circumcise, and then we'll marry one another and we'll become one big nation. If you're willing to do it, so then fine. And if not, so then we're coming and taking our daughter back. And we're going." So Shechem and Hamor hear what Yaakov's sons say. Avram is famous for the circumcision. They like the idea, and so they're quick to do what they said. They said, "Look, these guys are healthy. They've done it. Avram was healthy. Yitzchak was healthy. They all prospered. So fine. Shechem wants her very badly. He loves her a lot. And so he is very connected to her at this point." And so they quickly go and gather the people, and they tell them. They said, "Look, we spoke to Yaakov's family about the girl. And you guys, if you agree, then we're going to become a bigger nation. We have a big country here. They'll do good business with us. We're going to become one big nation." The people heard, and they liked the idea, and they all circumcised. The next morning, Shechem and his father gather all the people, and they call Yaakov's children to do the circumcision. So it takes 2 days to circumcise the whole city. And they circumcise Shechem and Hamor and Shechem's five brothers. And everyone went home to heal. Now, the truth is, this was an unnatural thing, that a whole city would agree to such a thing. But Hashem sided with Shimon and Levi. And Hashem wanted them to succeed against this city. And there were 645 men, 276 children, all of them circumcised in those 2 days. The only ones who refused to listen was Chidkam, the Hamor's grandson, and his six brothers. They weren't willing to listen because they said, "That's disgusting, we're not doing that." And they got very upset that these six didn't listen. So they started sending out their KGB to check who did and didn't circumcise. They found 8 children that weren't circumcised because their mothers had hid them. And Shechem and Hamor said, "You bring them here, and we'll circumcise them." So the 6 they gathered the other grandchildren, Chidkam and his 6 men, who also weren't circumcised, and they came up and they said, "We're going to kill all of you. We're going to kill you, Grandpa Hamor and Shechem and Dina and all of you. Well, what's with you? You can't find a Canaanite girl. You have to go and join up with this nation. You have to do this ridiculous act. Your forefathers never did this. You think this is what's going to bring you success? What are you going to do? The other Canaanites are going to come here tomorrow and ask you, what's wrong with you? And you're going to say, what'd you become, Hebrews? If you don't like... you don't like our tradition of being Canaanites. What do you want from us? Everyone's going to hear, the sons of Ham, they're going to hear that for one Hebrew woman, you guys did such a thing. You never had such a tradition. What's wrong with you? Where are you going to take your shame when everyone looks at you and says, you guys are ridiculous? We can't stand here when you do such ridiculous things. And so tomorrow, we're gathering all the Canaanites. And we're coming together, we're making a civil war. And we're going to destroy all of you. And you're going to see that there will be no remnant left of you, Hamor and Shechem. They tell their own grandfather. And Hamor and Shechem, when they hear that, they're very scared because they're not up to this circumcision. And they decide, we should have never done it. And so Hamor and Shechem say to Chidkam and the brothers, and they say, you know what, you guys are right. You shouldn't think that we love them so much that we did this. But we saw that they're going to take the girl back. So we listened to them. But once we have a chance, so you should know that we're going to take revenge from Yaakov and his family. We're just waiting for the chance. Now wait, don't go and cause a civil war. Wait till we get back to our strength. And then together we'll go and make a pogrom together and destroy Yaakov and his family. You're right, we should have never agreed. We just didn't want a war right now. We wanted the girl, but you're right, we made a mistake. And we're going to go back and kill him. Dina heard all of this. And she quickly sent a message with one of the girls that her father had sent her to be her servant. She sent word to Yaakov and the brothers. And she told them this is what they're planning. You have to realize that when they get better, they're coming out there to kill you. And Yaakov and his children heard this, and they got very upset. Shimon and Levi promised. They said, we swear, tomorrow there'll be no one left in this city. And there were 10 young men who had hidden and had not circumcised. And the 10 young men, when Shimon and Levi came to kill out the city, they put up a fight. Shimon and Levi killed 2 of them. 2 of them ran away, and they couldn't find them. And Shimon and Levi started going through the city, killing out everyone. So there was a ruckus in the city. People were yelling, women, children, and Shimon and Levi didn't leave a single male alive. They took Hamor and Shechem and they killed them. They took Dina out, and they came back. And when the family heard that all the men were dead, so they went in and they took the loot. And 300 women took up the fight. And they started throwing rocks and dirt and put up a fight. So Shimon turned and killed all 300 women. And then Shimon and Levi came to the city. They took all the loot. And they brought them out of the city and they brought to Yaakov. They brought it all to Yaakov. When Yaakov saw all of this and he saw the loot, he got very upset. He said, what'd you guys do? I finally had peace. I finally had peace in the land of Canaan. No one was bothering us. And this is what you did. Now, we're not big in numbers. The other nations are going to hear what you did to their relatives here in Shechem. And they're going to attack. And Shimon and Levi and everyone said to Yaakov, we're still living here. And look at what Shechem did. How could we be quiet? Is Shechem going to make our sister a woman of ill repute? Now, they had gathered 85 women who were not yet married. And there was one little girl there who was very good looking. Her name was Buna, and Shimon married her. They captured 47 men, and the men and women that they captured became servants to the day that the sons of Yaakov left Egypt. These family, these people were their servants. Yeah.
Still small feat for Shimon, maybe even to kill a whole city of circumcised people. And I thought I heard in Jerusalem somewhere that said when Shimon and Levi got together, it doesn't matter what, they're like they're automatically going to win any battle they go against. So even that was a miracle. Like, even if you have like this whole city of circumcised people, it's virtually impossible, you know, to just kill like 300 people like that. Even like in modern warfare, just for like two people to kill 300 people, that's quite a feat. It almost never happened. There was a story with like 30 people that killed 300, but it was pretty far out there. So even the Navy, when they got together, her neurosis, they were like miraculously successful in warfare.
Right. It's true. So he says that the two people who had hidden, remember there were two young men who had hidden, so they went out to the city of Tapuach and they told them, look what happened to our city. And the king of Tapuach didn't believe them. How could two people destroy a whole city, just like you said? So he sent men to check out if it's true. And when he heard that it was true, so he wondered, hey, wait a second, how could two men do this, destroy such a big city? No one could stand up to them. There wasn't anyone who could do such a thing since the days of Nimrod. And so the king of Tapuach said to his people, let's get together and fight the Hebrews. We have to take revenge for what they did to the city of Shechem. And he took a counsel with his advisors and they said, you're not going to succeed if you go alone. Look at what they did to the city. If two people killed the whole city, so how are you going to go against them without destroying yourself? What you have to do is gather all the kings and we'll go fight together against the sons of Yaakov. Then you'll succeed. So he listened to his advisors and he started gathering. So he sent to the kings of the Amori, the cities around Shechem and the cities around Tapuach, and he said, come help me and we'll destroy Yaakov, that Hebrew, and all his family, because this is what they did to the city of Shechem. So the kings of the Amori heard what they did, and the seven kings of Shechem gathered with 10,000 men with their swords drawn, and they went to fight Yaakov. When Yaakov heard that the kings of the Amori gathered to fight, Yaakov got very scared and he started yelling at Shimon and Levi, and he said, what'd you guys do? Look at what you did to me. Now all the sons of Canaan have come to destroy the whole family. Here I was in peace and tranquility, and look at what you did. And Yehuda says, wait a second, Dad. Were they wrong? The man abducted and tortured our sister. He went against the Noahide laws. Look at what Shechem did, and no one stood up to him. No one said a word. So, look, Hashem gave them success because the people deserved it. And my brothers didn't just go and kill out a city for nothing. So why should we be scared? What are you scared for, Dad? What are you upset at my brothers for? Hashem gave the people in the hands of my brothers, so then Hashem will also give us success against the Canaanim that are coming against us. And we'll do to them like we did to the people of Shechem. Don't yell at my brothers. Have faith in Hashem. Daven to Hashem that He should save us and that we should succeed against our enemies. And Yehuda called one of his father's servants and he said, go see where the kings are coming from. Go see their camps. And the servant went to the lookout and he went up Mount Sion and he saw the camps of the different kings standing throughout the fields. And he told Yehuda, look, there's a huge nation coming here. A tremendous number of soldiers. Yehuda tells his brothers, Shimon, Levi, and all the other brothers, you guys be strong. Hashem is with us. You have nothing to fear. Put on your swords, put on your bows and arrows, and we're going to fight these uncircumcised people, and Hashem will save us. So they each put on their swords. They each get ready for war. The old, the young, Yaakov's 11 children, Yaakov's servants. They get Yitzchak's servants that were with Yitzchak in Hebron. Everyone came prepared for war. And they go, and there are 112 soldiers. And Yaakov is with them. They send word to Yitzchak, and they say, "Daven for us. Hashem should save us from the Canaanim, because we're being attacked. They should fall in our hands." And so Yitzchak starts davening for them. He says, "Hashem, you promised Avram that our seed will flourish like the stars of heaven. You promised me, and you lived up to your word. And now the Canaanim are coming to fight my children, and my children did nothing wrong. Hashem, the God of this land, you destroyed their plan. And don't let them fight my children. Let my children scare off the kings and all their men, put down their pride, and they should return in fear from attacking my children. Save my children and their servants with your powerful hand, with your outstretched arm, because you have the might to do all of that." So Yaakov and his children start advancing. And as they're advancing, Yaakov also davens. And he says, "Hashem, you are the potent one. You're the one who controls all forces. You are awesome. You rule and you've always ruled. And you will always rule. You're the one that arouses wars and you're the one that puts wars down. You have the strength and you have the might. You uplift and you put down. And now my prayer should come before you. Turn to me with your mercy and cause me and my children to scare off these kings so that they will not fight us." What an unusual prayer. "And put down their haughtiness, let them be scared and run away. And you save all those that have faith in you. You're the one that puts nations under us, and so we turn to you." The Amori kings stand up, and they start taking counsel what they should do with Yaakov's children. They start talking, and they say, "Well, two of them killed the whole city. So let's see statistically, how many of them, how many of us?" And they start talking, and they say, "Even though we're bigger in number, how are we going to do this? Statistically, they could still take us down." So the advisors all say, "What are you fighting them for? If two could destroy a city, and they weren't scared of that, and no one could stand up to them, so why do we think we'll fare any better? Don't you know that their God loves them, and He does miracles for them? No one else had miracles like they've had. No nation has had successes like their successes. Look at how He saved their grandfather Avram from the hands of Nimrod. The whole nation wanted to kill Avram, and one man could stand up to the king of the world. Nimrod had the whole world in his power. The nation wanted to kill Avram numerous times, and were unsuccessful. Look, he was even sent into a fire, and he was saved. So who's going to be able to stand up to them if the whole nation couldn't kill their grandfather? You know, Avram single-handedly went out and destroyed five kings. They just touched his nephew. And look at what their grandfather did. He took one servant, a few men, chased after them that night, and he destroyed the four kings that had overtaken five kings. So, look, there's a strong bond between these Hebrews and their God. They know He'll save them. And they love their God. And they love Him so much that their grandfather was willing to sacrifice his own kid for God. And if God wouldn't have gotten in the way and told him don't do it, He would have done it. And God promised him that He will always save His children from any harm that comes to them. So Avram was so dedicated to God, God said He's going to be so dedicated to them. You know, Paro, Avimelech, they just took Avram's wife, and these kings couldn't stand up to the test. The whole people suffered because Paro took his wife. So we ourselves saw Esav went with 400 men to destroy Yaakov. Remember, Esav had a real claim against Yaakov. And look, miraculously, Yaakov came out alive. Everything's okay. Even his own brother, Even his enemies, they couldn't take him down. So you see that God is on their side, and look how two kids took down a whole town. So it's unnatural. There's no logical explanation how these two kids took down a whole city. But you see God's on their side. So now you guys want to come out of the city? You really think that just because we got together we'd win? If we had 1,000 times the number of soldiers we had, we wouldn't win. You have to realize you're not really fighting them. You're fighting their God because he chose them. And the truth is, all the advisors got together and they said, you should know, we're committing suicide by having this war today. It's a bad idea. We're not going to succeed, even though they seem like they're small in numbers. So you have the kings of the different nations. Each one has their advisor coming up with the same conclusion. They all got scared. They didn't want to fight. They listened to their advisors, and so they made an about face. They turned around, they got scared, and again, this was Hashem's doing in response to Yitzhak and Yaakov's prayer. And so they turned back, and each one went back home, and no one fought. And Yaakov and his children stood there till nightfall. They wanted to make sure it wasn't some kind of tactic, and they see that the kings aren't advancing, and they went back home. And that's the conclusion of the story in the Sefer HaYashar. That's the conclusion of the story of the wars of Yaakov and his children. There are other stories, but for today, that's where we'll leave it.